The third parak, and probably the final parak in Bikurim. Pashas, it's the last parak. So, what do we have today and have tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem? Okay, so really the third parak here deals with, what we'll do today really deals with what you'd want to know about Bikurim, which is like, yeah, how do you do it? Like, up to now, just saying, you know, it's the dinim and like, what's eligible. And here's how it works. So, number Mishnah Aleph here talks about, you know, when it's still in the field. Ketzed mafrishin esa bikurim. How do you set aside your bikurim? Yorad adam l'toch sadeu. A guy goes back down into his field. V'roa te'ena shebikra. He sees the first of the figs that are, you know, yeah, but it's not bikra. It's like it's starting to emerging. That's good. Emerge. That's a good word. Emerge. Or eshkol shebikir, or the first of the clusters of the grapes. Or Riman Shabikar, or the pomegranate starting to come. Kosho Begemi, so then he takes like a string. A gemi is like a reed, you know, he takes whatever he has handy. But I guess you pull a piece of, you know, wheat out the ground and you tie it up. Vomer Hare Elu Bikurim, and you declare this thing to be Bikurim. And normally you can't, we said, declare anything to be these different hafrashas, give it their names, until they're ready to go. Edible and so on. We said if you make a declaration, we saw yesterday, if you make a declaration on truma, let's say attached to the ground, not achal. Here, bikurim, as soon as what happens is in any fruit, essentially, you have a flower, then the flower ends up at the end, like the leaves fall off, and in the middle of it, it's like a little bud which is into the fruit. So as soon as the petals have fallen out and you have a little bud there, that's the bikur business. That's, you know, you see, oh, there's going to be the fruit. I remember we saw the word smadar. Smadar we had the other day. Smadar, that's like the blossom, and then what happens, the leaves fall off, and underneath there'll be a little thing, which is the boser. So once you've spotted it, then you say, oh, there it is, that's the fruit coming to be, and you can mark it off.
There is an odd situation here. It's singular. He's talking about one. It didn't say a few things. And yet we call it Bikurim.
I guess
there is no singular form for it.
Right, that's interesting.
Too much about the nib, so the first of the each one can call it.
But we say Hare Elu Bikurim.
Look at the
word.
Yeah. Although it's interesting, certain words like apparently Bikurim, for example. And shlamim and mayim, certain words don't have, they're always plurals.
But the elu.
Right. But by the way, here, I think it's just, remember there was no shear to the bikurim, you could find one, but I think, so it's saying, even find one to ain and put a string around it, but obviously, I think the normal thing was to do more. You get, you know, your first, you set aside some amount. But in any case, so it could be one, but I think normally it would be more than one of each of the species. So. It depends. Well, it's an eshkol. It's true eshkol, but I think, but figs and rimonim are one-offs.
But if you think about it, if you found the first one in the whole tree, that would involve a lot of searching. It would generally be there'd be loads around, and then here they are.
Yeah, I don't think.
You don't need to say zeh, though. That's the point.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's mitam chashibus.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The relation. Proliferation.
You have it. Do you have it in Hebrew? You do have it in, I'm trying to think. If it's really Mishnaic Hebrew. You definitely speak in plural in Hebrew to show kavod in modern Hebrew. Right? Right? But I don't know if it's like many languages have that. In fact, I think most languages have it. I think English is unique. More or less, it's in that it there's no like formal tense, but like if you're, I don't know, you're speaking German. Okay, fine, but that is true. But I was about to say, if I think in German, for example, and I think even in Russian too, and so like when you speak to someone, you shift into a plural mode.
Yeah. Yiddish.
Yeah, Shalom Aleichem. Exactly. That's Shalom Aleichem. That's the thing. But I'm not sure if that's like a Mishnaic or modern. Not sure what the origin of that expression is. Just not sure. Yeah. Okay. That's true. It's from the Gemara. Yep. Okay, anyways. So, right, Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon says, on the tree is not good enough. He says, even if you went and said this thing is a Bikurim, one of the Bikurim, when it's on your tree. Chozer v'kora osam bikurim, you have to call them again. Bikurim ma'achar sheyital shum in a karka, want to detach it from the ground or from lavdavka, from the tree, whatever it is. In other words, he doesn't allow for declaration to happen when it's still attached to the tree. Just the same way, he makes a drasha. The same way you only can bring it when it's fully grown, you only can declare it when it's fully grown and appropriate to be brought. So.
But he would still hold that you would tie the
Correct.
You sometimes find a cluster of grapes with the small ones as well. Now, not talking about like that every item on the cluster is fully mature.
I don't think you have to search the tree for 6 hours every day to find one. The first one's come. I don't think it's like that. When you go out there and you see they're starting to come, you pick a few off as like from the first. I don't think first means like you have to scientifically know this one was the first one to pop off the tree. That's not sure. Okay, fine. So now there's a Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Base, now bring it to the base of Mikdash. This is the
Maybe
next step.
That's why it's Shahari Elevikum, just in case.
No. Definitely not. That'd be disastrous. Because then if you're thinking maybe you're declaring other fruits of yours Bikurim, then you're going to have a big problem eating those fruits. But you definitely won't want to do that. Ketin as Bikurim. How do you bring up your Bikurim now to Jerusalem? Kol Ayaros Shebe Ma'amad. Let me explain this outside first. Okay. First of all, the Bikurim had to be brought in like in mass with lots of people because Barov Am Hadras Melech. Remember I said yesterday, about how the Levium sing? It's not every time some joker walks in the base of English they'll break out and song another time. As you can see now, that it's done in like enormous group of people simultaneously because of Barov Am Hadras Melech, with the multitudes is the glory of the king. So we're going to see now how they did it. Now just the background is like this. The Kohanim were divided into 24 Batei Av, like 24 subgroups, 24 teams, and every team got a week, basically twice a year, roughly speaking, except on the holidays when they had to get all hands on deck, everyone came. So, and then they had Levim also there in part, and when the carbon was being offered, you have some Kohanim there, you have some Levim there, saying you also need some Yisraelim there, because remember the Tumid is representing us all. So what would happen is the Jews are also divided into 24 groups, those are called Ma'amados. And what happens is, some of the Jews will go up to Yerushalayim and be in the Beis Mikdash. They probably live in Jerusalem anyway, so that's why they're staying there. And they'll be representatives there in Jerusalem, and they'll watch the Tumid go. Now, what happens if you live outside of Jerusalem? So you're still a part of Israel, you get your chance, so you're one of the 24 teams. When it's your Ma'amad's turn, as we'll see, we'll learn it in the Be'ez Hashem Tainus quite soon, you basically would go to the, like that week you were on duty, you had to say you had the special readings from Bereishis, and you fasted, and you davened, like you're also, as your week on. So the way it essentially worked is that there was, every Ma'amad had like a one person in charge, the big shot, and that was in his town. And so what happened would be, now we're gonna see, effectively what happens is that the people of the Ma'amad would go like congregate with him instead of going to Jerusalem. So you've essentially, what it comes down to is each of the 24 heads of the Ma'amados and like their area around their house is like sort of like a zone. So, right? So like Israel essentially divided into 24 zones. I don't think it has any connection or correlation to the Ari Miklat, but I'm not sure. Anyone know? Just coincidence? The 48th Ari Miklat. I think it's just a coincidence. I just thought that in my head. So anyways, so the 24 zones of the country, essentially, you know? So what's going to happen is all the zones, in terms of bringing the Bikurim, they're going to do it in mass. Everyone, you know, from our area is going to come together, and they're going to all pile into the town where the head of the Ma'amad is hanging out, his town. So here's how it goes. Kol ha'yarot sheba Ma'amad, all the cities in that particular, like, Ma'amad zone, in other words, like that, county, for a better term, right? Miskantos le'ir shel Ma'amad. They all can, you know, descend upon, they collect, enter into the city of the, shel Ma'amad means of the head of the Ma'amad. So wherever, you know, the head of the team is, they all go to his area, and they all sit there together in that town. The whole, you know, 124th of Jews are going to be now all in one little village or town, wherever it is. Vilan b'rechova shel ir, and they all spend the night over in the rechova, in the town square, or in the street. They didn't go inside the house. They didn't actually get put up by the locals. The reason why is, believe it or not, it's a chazal, we're afraid people would die. Not just in general, people die from time to time, and I guess in those days more often than today. And they're afraid that that would make tumah, whoever's in the house would come tell me and couldn't bring the korbanos. So a little morbid, but everyone slept in the streets because of that, camping out.
This word, mamad, is the same term that we use to describe the secure room that we have to build in the house?
It is the same word. Sorry? I don't know the word mamad actually literally means. It's from the word omed.
Mamad today is acronym.
Oh, yeah?
Ma'amad? Yeah, it's Ma'amad. Rosh Hashanah. Mem Dalet.
That's it. So I just made it up.
Oh.
I know someone told me it's Ma'amad Kun something.
Oh, it is? Okay, fine. There you go.
If it's Kumar, they sometimes there's a Ma'amad that's for a whole floor, they call it a Ma'amad.
Oh, really?
Because sometimes there's a
okay, there you go.
Whole floor.
There you go. Okay, that's good. See, I bet you if you were living in Chutz Haaretz, you'd never learn that. That's what I bet. It's Lutheran Eretz Yisrael. So no relation, I guess. Mamad. Okay. Fine. So they would stay over the night in the street of the town where their head of their mamad is, and then they go in the morning together. V'lamashkim, and in the V'lamashkim, in the morning, someone learned mashkim is like, you know, hashkama minin, maybe you're familiar with that, and Avram is. So some learned that it means daf, like dawn, and some learned just any time in the morning, but the point is in the morning, Haya Hamamuna Omer, the Mamuna is the guy in charge, the designee, but he was the head of the Ma'amad. He would say, and he reads from Pasuk, Kumu, let's get up, but not let Sion El Hashem Elokeinu, like let's head out, let's go out to Zion, to our God. Okay? Now the Yerushalmi starts now we're gonna have a few steps. The Yerushalmi starts talking about like which psukim they're saying psukim and reading Tehillim throughout this whole process now. But here we just have the opening line. Okay, they said get up and let's go from Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Okay, so now Mishnah Gimel just continues on the story here as they're now gonna get up from the city where they gathered and head out towards Jerusalem. Hakrov Mevim to Einim, if Vanavim. If the place that we're talking about is close to Jerusalem, so then they can bring fresh fruits. So they'll bring their ta'anim, their figs, and anavim, and their grapes. However, barachokim, if they're coming from far away and it's like a distant journey, so by the time that they get there, it'll be horrible. It'll be dried out grapes. Dried grapes are horrible. So therefore, mevi'in grogros v'tzimukim, they should bring their figs dried and their raisins dried, tzimukim. Right? So they bring it so that the fruit is nice. When it comes, the fruit is nice. V'ashor holech lefneim, and they had a cow escorting them in front of them. Now some learn this cow is. Remember, yesterday we said you need a korban. So yesterday I said that the pasha says the korban is referring to the korban is shlamim. You need to have shlamim when you bring it. So some learn that the korban is just this one collective shlamim that they all have. So this, according to some, this means there's one cow that represents the entire group of people bring it, which could be 10,000 people, right? And that cow is going to be jointly owned by all of them and brought as a shlamim on like all of their behalf. If that's the korban that needs to accompany the bikurim. Otherwise, learn it's just a korban that's coming and it's making a chashiv. And that cow, the karnav mitzupos zahav, its horns are gilt, gold plated, I guess, covered in gold, just for chashivas. The atar shel zayas perosho, and they had a wreath of a olive branch wreath around the cow's head. Some learn it just because that's nice, looks nice, and olives are nice. No coincidence why they use olive wreaths. And other learn that dafka, it's like a reminder, I guess, that you only bring bikurim from the seven species. But okay, fine. Anyways, you have to see this cow adorned and heading in.
Was it permissible for a korban to carry things?
Yeah. It's not. First of all, I think it could. You're not getting. You're not benefiting from this. Is decorating it?
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's okay.
Apparently so.
Who's carrying the
Antara?
It's got a little wreath on its head.
Yeah. The cow's got a wreath on. No, he's not carrying the korban. The people carry.
Yeah. The truth is, the people don't. Yes, people don't have to be carrying the bikurim, but this cow is not carrying their bikurim for them.
Right.
People can have their
bikurim.
Yeah, at this point, the people are schlepping their bikurim, but it can be on the wagons and on their donkeys and stuff like that. Okay, so they're in procession going now to Jerusalem. and hechalil makel lifneim, and the chalil, that's a flute, no, the and makel means to hit. Rashi explains that it's called a makel elsewhere. He says because like you've hit your fingers on the holes and you play it. If anyone plays a record or whatever, so the flute's playing and they're saying psukim from Tehillim, and they're gonna go all the way. Achim agim karvel Yerushalayim, so they get close. So they get close, and then they reconvene and get ready to go in. And meanwhile, they send when they've got close. Higiu karvel Yerushalayim. Once they get close, shalchu lifneim. They send messengers in front of them. To tell the people of Jerusalem, here we come, get ready, because this is this whole reception for them. V'itchu es bikurim, and now it's time to decorate their bikurim. Now they make it look nice, they put it in the baskets, and now they make sure it's adorned. You see there's birds hanging off it and all sorts of exciting things. Okay. So the word got to Jerusalem that they're coming. When they adorn it, I should just make it. They make it look nice. So that Bartholomew actually brings. In other words, for example, if they were bringing bikurim, but the bikurim they were bringing were, let's say, dried figs because they were far. They put like now fresh figs to make it look nice. They say they're adorning it with other things, say with grapes or whatever it is. Okay, so everything looks beautiful and rich and I don't know the word is catered. Yeah, I was gonna say opulent. Opulent's not a nice word. It's like pejorative. But it looks like rich and there's a better word for that.
Festive.
Festive's good. Not the word I want, but festive's good. It looks, okay, fine. All right? Hapachos, it's a funny word. Pachos, Bartholomew says Skane Kahuna, the headshots of the Kohanim. Others learn it means like the Nesiim, the big shots of Israel. I don't know why they're called Pachos. Pachos means like the lesser ones or something like that. Yeah, but do we?
Pachos, of course.
Where? Oh, in the Megillah. Yeah, well, I wonder, is it...
Those are big shots.
Yeah, it's a funny word for big shots. What? Yes, the Bartholomew learned that they're dafka, they head to the Kohanim. Whoever they are, they're the big, either the big shots, general big shots amongst Israel, Knesset's coming out, or whatever it is, or the Kohanim. Vasaganim. Saganim now are the Pashas. Either the Skane Kuna, the other deputy people of the Kohanim of the temple, or like other municipal, players, important people, and the Gizbarim, the treasurers, all those people start showing up, and they to greet the arrival of these people. Yotzim lekrasam, they go out to greet them. Lufi kavod hanichnasin hayu yotzim, and they according to the honor of those who arrived, they went out. In other words, if the group that arrived was huge, then they'd send out a huge delegation from Yerushalayim to greet them. If it was a small crowd, then they would only be greeted by a small, the mayor's second in command. No, whatever, a bigger crowd for a bigger crowd. Okay. V'chol balei umnius, all the workers, shebi Yerushalayim, even though they're doing their work, omdin lefneim, they should get up when they pass by. Normally the din is, if you're working, and you're on the clock, you're exempt from standing up, even for Talmud Chacham. You don't stand up from because it's called a bit of malacha. You're wasting, you're diminishing your output for your employer. You're on the clock. The Torah is very strict in general about losing even a second. Remember we had in Demai we had that. Well, oh yeah, that's true. I was thinking of a different thing. Yeah, that's right. I was thinking of, so one is standing up the tree to daven. That's right. I was thinking in Demai we had that story about the guy. If he's giving 100 figs, he doesn't trust the kashrus, he can't even, it was a machlokas tanaim there, if he can shortchange by even one fig less, because he'll have that much less output. He's like cheating from his employer to not be fully at full strength. Yeah. So similarly down the tree. So again, so normally you can't stand up when you're working, even with Talmud Chacham, because you're involved in something else. But here, they said, out of covet of there's a lesson like, mitzvah b'shato chaviv, I think that's the exact lesson in the Gemara. It's very exciting, so everyone now stands up for them. V'sholon b'shlomon, and they ask their welfare. It should just, and that means even more than just saying how are you rhetorically. You inquire, how was the trip? Everything okay? Can I get you a glass of water? Engage them. Achenu anshe makom ploni ba'atem l'shalom, and they should declare, our brothers from such and such a place, come in peace. There's a big song and dance. They're very happy to see the people bring the bikurim. And Mishandala now, as we're going to get on now from Yerushalayim up to the Har Habayis and to the temple. HaChalil Makil Lefneim. Once again, you got the flute playing, Psukim being read. Ach and singing songs, Amdus Hayu, right? And so on. Ach and Magim Laharabayas, all the way till they get to the Harabayas, till they get to the Temple Mount. Higil Laharabayas, once they've gotten there, Afilu Agrippus Hamelech, even if you're Agrippus Hamelech, no Talasal, you take the basket that has the food in it, Al Katefo Venichnas, you take it on your own personal shoulder. In other words, up to now, you can have the animal schlep it for you. But once you get now to the Harabayas, because the pasuk said it had to be that the Kohen's taken v'lokach Kohen hatena miyadecha, since he takes it from your hand, miyadecha, he takes it from your hand, so you have to have it in hand. So you have to now carry yourself personally. What's with Agrippus? So Agrippus was a good king. So I don't like that. Agrippus was very good king. He's good. He's very good. Very good. But anyway, apparently he was pompous also. So. The most unfortunate learn, it means even if you're, some learn it's just even if you're a chashev, but why is it picking on Agrippus? Some learn that it's because even Agrippus, who was a pompous guy, still he carried it himself. Everyone does it.
Would that be a sign of his pomposity?
That he should or he shouldn't?
That
he didn't. Well, no, he did. See, everyone did, even Agrippus. Even King Agrippus carried it himself at this point. So they pick on him and say, even him who's, you know. He's not the kind of guy who carries his own things, right? That's right. That's right. Everyone carries their own thing now, because you have to come in your own hand. Ad Shemagila Azara, and you now carry it from on top of the Harabais till you get to the Azara, you know, the courtyard. Higila Azara, once they arrive to the Azara, the Dibru HaLevim Bashir, now the Levim start singing in, and they start saying, Aramimcha Hashem, I will exalt you, Hashem, ki dli sani, because you lifted me up, and you didn't let my enemies rejoice over me. Okay, they start more Tehillim. It's a bit of a focus exactly which Prakam of Tehillim has said. Suffice to say that there's a lot of singing going on, Tehillim being said.
How quickly did
David Amel's,
you know, songs
catch
on?
I don't know. This is a long time for David Amel. I don't know. You know, in those days, it's rare, it's very rare that people get famous much after their death. In antiquity, much after their lives. The reason why is because if things don't have longevity, until you can have a CD, it'll stick around. They're like, but there are exceptions. Like, you know, Vivaldi was like a nobody in his lifetime. Now he's like quite a famous in his time as nobody. Or like the Meiri, I think really got famous after his life largely. So sometimes I think. Some people get like more famous afterwards, but as a general rule, I think, you know, it's either now or never. I think David HaMelech was. So yeah, that's also true. Anyways, so now Mishnah says Hagozlos Shal Gabi Hasalin. They had gozlos, little baby birds. They were doves or pigeons. So it says Al Gabi Hasalin. They were on top of the baskets. So most want to say, not literally on top of the baskets, because that would make the fruit icky. Right? So it means, you know, they were tied on at the side of the baskets and so on. Some learned there, whatever. Right? So these Hayu Olos, they're headed now to be like the voluntary offerings. They go, they came to adorn it. Umash biyadam, and that which was in their hands, the people who brought it, nosin the kohanim. They give that to the kohanim. Now most learn what's in their hands is the basket. So you're gonna pass it on to the kohanim. And now you pass on the fruit. And this is, we'll see in the next Mishnah exactly how the handover goes, that the pasuk, you know, the Kohen takes the basket. The Rambam learns, fascinatingly, that on top of all of this, they're carrying these baskets, and they've also got the bird dangling off the ends of them. He's also got some other, in his hands, he has some random birds, and he gives the birds in his hands as gifts to the Kohen. It's hard for me to imagine how that seems a bit cumbersome, but then the Rambam learns, Mashabiyada means he gives the birds that are in his hand, in addition to the birds that are tied onto the back. Or on top of the baskets, he gives those to the Kohanim also. Fine. Cool. Mishnah Vav. Now, let me actually give the background of the Mishnah a little better. I'm going to reset the Parsha again, because it's like you need to see it inside a little bit, or at least hear it inside. So I'm going to read you just the story again about from Devarim of bringing Bikurim, because we're going to discuss and exactly what's said and what's done when in the saying. So the parsha starts out, "Vayakisavu la'aretz asher Hashem lokech noisim l'cha nach levarishta v'shavta ba." When you get to the land. V'lakachta mereshes kol pri ha'adama asher tavi ma'artzecha asher Hashem elokecha nosan lach v'samta batena. You'll take the first of your fruits and you put it in the basket. V'alachta l'makom asher yivcha Hashem elokecha l'shachin shmosham. You'll go to Jerusalem. V'asa el ha'kohen asher yeh b'yam mahem v'amarte lav. And then you get to the kohanim and this, and you say to him. So now this quote begins the declaration of what you're saying when you bring your bikurim, but it's just really one pasuk. Higadati hayom, today I declare Hashem Elokecha to your God, ki va'asi el ha'aretz, I've arrived in the land that shared nishba Hashem la'avoseinu, that Hashem promised our fathers, l'ses lanu, to give to us. Now, like, end quote. Now, like, you know, now the narrative of the Torah picks up over here. Okay, and we'll see in a minute. It's a machlokas tanaim if the handoff. If now at this point the Kohanim now stick their hands under, and it's like that's why it's broken up, or no, it's just like, you know, instructions before we continue on with the same declaration, but the person he's holding it by himself still. So then it says, V'lakach ha-kohen batena miyadecha, the Kohen will take it from your hand, v'inicho lifnei mizbach Hashem elokecha, and then the Kohen takes it from your hand and puts it in front of the mizbech. So how that plays out in terms of the choreography, the Mishnah will discuss. Then it says, Vanisa v'amarta lifnei Hashem elokecha, and you will answer, and you will say before Hashem your God. And then it picks up again, quote, Arami Ovid Avi, ... Then you make a second declaration, you know, an Aramean, and then there's those four psukim that we say in the Haggadah. That's the full declaration. So how it plays out in terms of the choreography, so that's the Mishnah's discussion here. It says, again, Mishnah Gimel, sorry, Parak Gimel Mishnah Vav. It says, Odeo Hasal al Ktefo, while the basket on his shoulders, Kore, and he reads, Mehigarati Ayom Lashem Lokecha. He starts out from the first section, like before the break, Ad Shagoma Kola Parsha, until the end. In other words, there, not all the words are said, there's one sentence of instruction in the middle, but like, okay, that's just parenthetical. You say it as one long declaration. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, no. Ad Arami Ovid Avi, you step one on your shoulders is only until like the first pasuk, before you start talking about the Rami Ovid Avi. Then Higila Rami Ovid Avi, once you get to that, like the second part, Morid Hasal Me'al Katefo, you take it off your shoulder, Va'ochzo B'Sifsosa, that means you hold it by like, oh, it's a basket, so you're holding it by like the lip on top, so the Kohen, V'Kohen Maniach Yado Tachtav, the Kohen gets his hands underneath it, so now you're holding on top, the Kohen's underneath of the basket, Umenifo, and he waves it. So now it sounds, by the way, this is a pashas, the Tanakhama doesn't even have a waving. Like we always think Bikurim waving, really the only one to Rabbi Yehuda that the waving happens. Okay, and it's actually, I found out, by the way, we discussed yesterday about the how you wave. So it's actually, I think, that yesterday's daf. It's a Makos Yirches, the discussion over there. But it comes out, you wave your Bikurim, your basket, the same way that you wave your Lulav. Same exact story, Stama. Whatever, if you're a Talmud of the Rizal, you do it in that order, I guess. I don't know, but it's all six directions. Okay? That you wave, you shake your Bikurim. And the Kohen's also holding it. And then the Korim Arami Ovid Avi, then you resume from those four Psukim from the Aramean, Ad Shu Gomor Kol Parsha, until you finish the whole story. Umanichu Betzad Mizbech, and at that point, it's placed by the Mizbech. Then you'll need a Kohen to do that, because you can't get over there so close. The Kohen puts it. Right, the Kohen will put it down there in the southwest corner. Vishtacha v'yotze, and the guy who brought it bows and leaves.
Okay, and have you got the reference for the direction they wave?
No, I don't know. I'm not here. I don't know. It's off my head.
They're
different
customs.
Vishtacha means you go like all the way down.
But he points out right in the beginning that ain't a loch of Rabbi Yehuda.
Yep, the loch don't like him.
It's a pellet.
So what does that mean?
Happened.
No, but I wonder.
What happened. He says it happened like this, and the Chachamim say it happened like this. There ain't a lot of
So what does that mean? We actually don't actually wave it, Lalacha? Interesting. I'm gonna, yeah. Here, I see. Yeah, Marcos, Tosos, Marcos Yerches. I see just the Kahati brings it. If he pshat, V'fi pashat lashna mishna yotze, it comes out according to Mishnah, shladas, tanakama, as far as tanakama is concerned, ein tzarach tenufa klal, there's no waving. V'chol ha-seifa hi medivri Rabbi Yehuda, it's just Rabbi Yehuda. V'nim tzagam shalach Rabbi Yehuda, the lach is Rabbi Yehuda, v'chein perisho tosos, that's what Tosos learns. Aval bal tosos yomtov, right? Mishabat ha-perish mishnaso, and mitchabet beferish mishnasenu mipnei she'rambam ma'atik mechiburo it's called a seifa. So the Rambam brings it down in Bikurim with the waving, meaning I guess the Rambam's learning that Rabbi Yehuda, that the waving is not just Rabbi Yehuda. Filba perushel mishnasenu hukosev she'en halach Rabbi Yehuda. And the apparently the Rambam learns in the Perish Mishnayos that the Lach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Her lefi zeh yotze ma'aseifa v'gil arm yudet medivrei Tanakama hi. So the Rambam learns the second part is not Rabbi Yehuda but Tanakama again. Bal tos yomtev ma'asik shepirushav dechokim hem v'nir lo sh'Rabbi Yehuda lo ba klal achlok al Tanakama el lefarish devarav. Tos yomtev says you can't. It's a mighty difficult way to read that in the words. Therefore, he says that Rabbi Yehuda. We've seen many times before. Remember that Rabbi Yehuda says, like Amosai, he's mefarish. So I guess here too, Rabbi Yehuda's not arguing he's being mefarish, and that's the Tosfos that wants to learn. That everyone agrees. There's a waving, and just it's a matter of Rabbi Yehuda's explaining what the Tanakhama holds. Okay, fine. So that's that. So I guess it comes out. I don't know how it comes out the halacha. Like really, really the halacha. How you do it? Okay, we're gonna stop there.